She's seen me cry many times.
Yes.
Let's be real.
I'm very used to Stephanie crying.
I'm emotional.
She's an emotional girl, woman.
Well, you know what they say about
and
those Latinas. We're just an emotional, you know, we're just
just a mess, right?
Just a mess all the time. From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, a portrait of the Latinas from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Melissa Fumero and Stephanie Beatriz.
So, do you recognize any of these men?
I was hiding in the bathroom stall, so I didn't see his face, but I heard him. He was singing along to the music at the bar.
Do you remember what he was singing?
I think it was that song, I Want It That Way.
Backstreet Boys, I'm familiar. Okay. Number one, could you please sing the opening to I Want It That Way?
Really?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine first premiered in 2013 on Fox. The show's a sitcom starring Andy Samberg, set in a police precinct in Brooklyn. Like in Parks and Recreation or 30 Rock, the workplace in Brooklyn Nine-Nine becomes a family, and everyone who watches finds a character they relate to.
Fine. I guess I can help you with those at-risk kids.
I don't need your help. It's nothing personal. It's just... you're not a cop, so I'm not really sure you could help.
Okay. No hard feelings, but I hate you. Not joking. Bye.
Melissa plays Amy Santiago, a high-strung overachiever who loves organization and impressing her boss, played by Andre Bauer.
I assume it's been a success.
Oh, yes. It's been all types of successes. Rousing, resounding. Smashing.
Stephanie plays Rosa Diaz, a no-nonsense detective who delivers wisecracks in a perfect monotone voice.
Great. I love strangers touching my head.
Sorry, you don't have a choice. Dismissed.
RoboCop. It's got everything I like. Gratuitous violence.
Oh, I thought you were listing things.
I was. I'm done.
The show aired on Fox for 5 seasons and was set to be canceled in May of last year. But after an outcry from diehard fans online, NBC decided to take over the production of the show, and a 6th season will come out this year. Today, I sit down with Melissa and Stephanie to get to know the people behind the characters. Welcome to Latino USA, Stephanie Beatriz and Melissa Fumero.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here. Mm-hmm.
So I heard this story about your audition for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and you don't know this, but, you know, I actually dreamt of being an actor one day myself. And so, you know, the whole thing about auditioning, like, I know a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. And I hear that there was a story about, like, each of you kind of going into the audition room and what happened. So what happened?
Originally, we actually auditioned for the same role.
Oh.
The role of Amy Santiago was written as a Latina character. So we both went in at different times, because I never met Melissa before we booked the show. But at different times, we went into Allison Jones's office, who was the casting director, original casting for our show. So yeah, we both read for the same role originally.
The role that you were reading for, they said, okay, basically, this is like a good girl Latina who's a little bit of a brown noser, terribly insecure, and, you know, is just a big pleaser. That was the role that you were both reading for?
No, it was originally, it was just she's a detective. She's kind of the foil to Jake, to Andy Samberg's character. And actually, she was originally just like very capable, very confident, like kind of all the parts of Amy that you see still now on the show when she's doing like the cop stuff. It was mostly that. And she became a bit more developed and all the nerdy and social anxiety stuff kind of came in.
That was such a nice way of saying that. That was, I was quite terrible about that. I just said that she was a bit of a good girl and wanting to be a brown noser. And you're like, she's dealing with anxiety. So thank you.
You have to really fall in love with your character and all the parts of them, you know?
Well, and I don't know if this is actually true because I've never asked like Dan Gore about it, but I myself was so nervous and like high energy when we were rehearsing the pilot, and every day changes on the script would come out and Amy would get like a little more nervous and some of the brown nosing with Holt came out and I was just like, oh my God, are they picking up that I'm so... nervous every day and like making the character more me. And
no,
like,
because
this
if
is
they
what
were,
I'm...
they would have picked that up for Rosa too, because I was terrified the whole time. So they
yeah,
were
but
just...
you hit it very well.
So then what happens? So the both of you go, and I guess the casting yeah. director says, "Oh my God, wait, it's not just one Latina. We can have two completely different Latina characters in one television show." What?
I mean, I think that was, you know, what ended up happening was that Allison sort of said, "I don't think you're right for this role, but I'd like you to read this other role that's written in the script named Megan." And Megan was the way that Rosa is described in the pilot, which is like smart, tough, and scary as hell. And then, yeah, and then we each of us had our respective screen tests, and they ended up changing the name of the character, and they changed the ethnicity too.
And you're so lucky because you get to work with one of my, I mean, of course, Andy Samberg, of course, Saturday Night Live, you know, but Andre Bauer, oh my God.
Everyone, I'm your new commanding officer, Captain Ray Holt.
He's just such a great American actor with such heft. Yes. And he just kills it in that show by not showing any emotion.
I am in incredible pain.
This guy's impossible to read. Don't even try.
I know. That he's so good. Question. He's so good. We're so lucky to be around him. And he just does such a beautiful job of bringing like a reality to the show and a groundedness to the show that we otherwise wouldn't have.
In some ways, I think it's like what Brooklyn Nine-Nine has done in terms of the both of you as Latina actors, is that it has, again, allowed us to see Latinas, and we're not in one box. What has that been like to be two Latina actors who are kind of carving their way on in an ensemble cast, and to have another one of you right there that you can kind of turn to and say, yo, that was weird, or that was great, or we're doing this together?
It's been amazing. Actually, when we both booked a pilot, we were both friends with Gina Rodriguez, and she like emailed both of us or something and to introduce us and be like, hey, you guys both got cast on the show and you're both great. And so it was so amazing. I had like not only an ally from the beginning, but also like a fellow Latina. And we were both kind of nervous that one of us would get fired from the
yeah.
pilot, because it was unheard of to us that a show would have two Latinas. So we even...
who weren't related. Right?
Who weren't related, or yeah,
because they have to be sisters or something.
Or cousins.
We were like overly, right. yeah, we were overly concerned with our look, kind of like for the big first table read in front of network. We decided Stephanie should have her hair wavy and I would have my hair straight. Like, it was so dumb. And I mean,
was it though? There have been a couple times where they're like, Melissa, come over here, and I'm like, that's the other one. I'm yeah.
But I think you made a good decision with the hair, because Stephanie, who plays Rosa, who's kind of, well, let's see. I mean, the word that I have next to her name is hard.
Yeah. I'll take it.
You might as well start hiding razor blades under our tongues. Here, you can have one of mine.
Just go home, have a beer, and smash something. That's what I'd do.
And when this is over, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to break those little fingers.
Miss Diaz, please stop.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, yes, it did, like, fit with our characters. And I think I even remember saying to Stephanie, like, well, I was planning on straightening my hair anyway because that feels like something Amy would do.
Right.
And but yeah, and even, you know, like for me, I was so excited to play somebody like Amy that was, you know, in a pantsuit every day and was nerdy and super smart and very book smart. And it's not a character that we're used to seeing, you know, a Latinx person play. And since the show has started, I get, you know, tweets from young girls all the time, like, I'm Latin and I'm a big nerd, or I'm a big book nerd, and I've never, like, seen a version of myself on television. And that is huge, you know, and it's those moments where you're like, yeah, representation matters. And
you know, Melissa mentioned that there wasn't really rep when we were kids. And, you know, that is and it isn't true, right? Like, of course, there have been Latinos kind of paving the way for us.
Yes.
But we were so regulated to these side characters in movies, you know, the gardener or the yeah. maid or the nanny, or maybe not even a speaking role. Or the big ones that I remember first were Cops, which was Jimmy Smits for me. And that was huge because he was on a network show and he was right there.
Because you think too much about what's ahead of you. You think about what you owe the people who depend on you, what you owe the job, what you owe yourself. And you're afraid that you won't have enough time to make good on all of it.
But what's interesting, Stephanie, is that you were relating to Jimmy Smits, who's Puerto Rican from New York.
Exactly.
You couldn't be more different than Jimmy Smits.
Like, correct.
You were born in Argentina.
That's right.
To a Colombian dad and a Bolivian mom. I'm like, okay, Colombiano, Boliviano, ¿cómo llegaron a Argentina? But it doesn't matter. The point is that when you're 3 years old, you move from Argentina to Texas.
Yeah. For me, in my memory, there's the painting of Las Dos Fridas, right? But somehow in my mind, I have conflated it to this image of one of the Fridas in traditional Mexican dress. And this is not what the painting is, but this is what it is in my mind. And then another version of her that's an American version. And that's how I feel. And, like, I'm getting a little emotional talking about it. But, like, I think a lot of Latinos feel that way. I think a lot of us feel like—
Tell me what's going on. Wow.
I think a lot of us have, like, one foot in one life and another in another life, you know? Like, when I would go home after school, like, we spoke Spanish in the house, but it was very, very, like, put upon me to not speak Spanish to anyone else, like, outside of the family. It was, like, there wasn't a word for this at the time, but it was, like, assimilate and assimilate quickly so that you don't feel outside, so that you know that you have the same opportunities as everyone else. For me as an American, it was very difficult growing up to try to figure out, like, how do I fit in? Like, where do I fit? Because, A, media isn't providing me an image of myself that I recognize and see. So that means I have to choose what images or people that I want to emulate. And I just have to decide, for me, this is just for me, I just have to decide to let go, almost let go of being Latina, you know? Cling on to the images that I see that are idols for me, like Chita Rivera, Rita Moreno, but also decide that I am a Phoebe on Friends, you know, decide that I am an Elaine, identify with people who don't look like me at all, but sort of take on this, like, middle ground. Yeah.
I love that.
I think I
always thought I was Elaine too, which is kind of weird.
I mean, so many of us are the Elaine.
We got the hair thing going on for sure.
And you speak a different way at work. And sometimes Melissa and I will code switch at work, and it's really fun. It's really fun to be able to sort of say something quickly in Spanish under your breath to your friend at work and be able to share a laugh and, like, a sort of cultural touchstone or something that, like, not many other people that you might be working with would understand.
Coming up on Latino USA, we hear more about how life has changed for Stephanie and Melissa since joining the show. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Stasha Shepherd thought she knew her dad. But then one day, a stranger called their home.
The phone is in my ear, and he's saying, "Your father's a crook. Did you know that?"
The story of a fallen hero and the mysterious obsession that drove him for decades, this week on Hidden Brain.
Hey, we're back. And I'm speaking with Melissa Fumero and Stephanie Beatriz from the TV show Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And when we left off, Melissa and Stephanie were talking about what it was like to not be the lone token Latino on a cast and what it's like to work together on the show. Melissa, you're growing up way far away from Texas in a place called New Jersey to Cuban parents. So, like, what was your life growing up as a Latina in New Jersey?
You know, there were definitely times where I felt different and felt that sort of living in two worlds. But I also was a dancer growing up, so I would leave school every day and go to the dance studio where there were, you know, half the girls I danced with were Puerto Rican or Portuguese. And so I had like more kinships there, you know. And I also was very optimistic as a kid. Like when Stephanie talks about watching movies and television when she was a kid and really like searching for herself, like I did do that, but I did it in like a hyper optimistic way where I'd be like, well, she has brown hair. Kelly Kapowski's got brown hair. It's kind of like I would look for the brunettes and things.
That is amazing. I had not remembered that I did that.
You guys, Darty's got brown hair.
Totally.
It
was like just desperate for just, any.
Yeah, but not realizing that it has to do like with your culture and like Latinos necessarily. Just like, oh, where are the brunettes, man? And kind of referencing what Stephanie said about assimilation, like, my Spanish sucks. And it sucks because when my brother started elementary school in New Jersey, his teacher called my parents in to the school. And they were like,
I know how this goes.
You know where the story's going.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you speaking to him at home? Spanish. Oh, well, it's really messing him up.
Yep.
You know, he's saying, give me lo and take a lo. And like, and yeah, really. Aww. And so it scared my parents. And they're, you know, they're immigrants. Like my mom was 15 when she came and they were young. They had young children. They were like, we want our kids to succeed. So they kind of stopped. They still spoke to us in Spanish all the time, but they stopped forcing us to speak Spanish back. And so my brother and I grew up having these completely bilingual conversations where they'd be speaking to us in Spanish and we'd be answering in English.
It's not every Latino family that says, yes, my child, go and be an actor. Of course.
Right.
Go, follow your artistic dreams.
Oh, my God.
So like, what did they say? Did they say, sí, mijita, or estás loca, or jamás, or sí?
A little bit of all.
Yeah. I think for my parents, like, I was always in some type of performing class, mostly dance, since I was little. You know, every year I would want to add more classes. I would act acting class and a singing class and a musical comedy class. And, like, so every year was the sitting down with my parents and them going, you can do three classes. And me, like, tears running down my face, like, giving up the flute so I could take the acting class. And, like, giving
so
up the
funny.
Painting classes so I could take back LA and like, you know, and just being like, you guys are so unsupportive.
Oh,
you're so
gosh.
Mean. And be like, we can't afford for you to take a million dance classes. I don't think it was until I got into NYU that my parents, I don't think they thought I was going to get in. I got into University of the Arts at NYU. And I think when those letters came, I just remember the sort of like half shock on my dad's face. And then they would come to see my plays in college. And then that was when they became enthusiastic. I remember them coming to one play, and my dad afterwards was like, this is what I really love to watch you do. You're a beautiful dancer, but I love watching you act. And I was like, and I just like sobbed. I was, you know, I was almost done with college, and I was like, oh my God, he believes in me. My dad really believes in me.
And what about you, Stephanie? Like, what was your parents' reaction when they hear their daughter saying, y quiero ser actriz?
I think they saw it coming, to be honest. I had been in 10th grade, and there was a production of Little Women, and I got cast as Jo. And the rest of the cast was white, and there was me. And they came and saw that production, and so I think they started sort of smelling it then, you know? And then senior year, by the time we hit senior year, I was president of the Thespian Society. Then I think they knew for sure that it was going to happen, whether or not they were behind it or not. And also my dad was sort of forced into being an engineer when he was a kid. I think he wanted to be a pilot. So I think he had sort of like a spot in his heart for like, you know what, if she's really passionate about it, let's just let her do it.
You know, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it because it turns out that I guess a lot of people want to talk about your sexuality and the fact that you you came out as bisexual, both in the show and in your personal life. You made a decision to say, I'm Latina and I'm identifying this way. And I'm focusing on that because you said, because my community as artists, we are the most accepting.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you go back in theater history and you think about like the playwrights, just starting from just playwrights, right? Like just playwrights who were white men who were getting shows produced on Broadway and also turned out to be gay, you know,
yeah.
Or like directors that were gay. And people sort of at the time and in the beginning, it was like you just turn a blind eye and you keep going along with your business. And then there was a shift and it was like, we're going to stop turning a blind eye and we're going to like just be open to it. And that sort of spread, I think, through the theater community in a really healthy, wonderful way. And like coming out to me was like it didn't feel like it was going to be a big deal. It just was like, I tweeted something. And then suddenly it was like, oh, snap, people want to talk about it. And then it was just a sort of lucky thing that I work for a really amazing person, Dan Gore, who was like, why don't we talk about it on the show, too? You know, it was just...
Oh, so it was your personal life that inspired the characters coming out?
I think it was a mix of... The way that I always read Rosa on the page was that she felt queer to me. There would be like little comments that she would make about.
Oh, yeah. There's that early like, she's thick.
Yeah, she's thick about like Tonya Harding.
Season one or two.
You know what? I'm with you on this. Tonya Harding.
Yeah, she's thick.
Right?
Always classy, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, I was like, oh, okay. She likes girls probably too, you know? And then Dan, because he's Dan, before we started season five, it was like, look, he called me and was like, this is something that the writers are kind of interested in exploring, but we want you to say whether or not this is something you would like to explore because you are the queer person that's playing this role.
This sounds like
that
extraordinary.
Would become a queer
person. Is this really actually television, you guys? I can't believe that
it's
this is...
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Wow. I'm bisexual. All right. I will now field 1 minute and 0 seconds of questions pertaining to this. Go. Amy.
How long have you known?
Since seventh grade. I was watching Saved by the Bell and I thought, Zach Morris is hot. And then I thought, Lisa Turtle, also hot.
So we are living in a particularly unique time for what it is to be Latino or Latina, to be an immigrant, and our relationship to law enforcement. So how do you, as women of color, approach playing women who are part of law enforcement?
I mean, that's a really excellent question. I think the main thing for myself, and I think I speak for both of us, is that we're on this show, and you've spoken to it in this interview, of like how almost ideal the world of Brooklyn Nine-Nine is. It's this like, there's all sorts of ethnicities, there's all sorts of sexualities, there's all sorts of ages. And the people that populate that world are really good people. Mm-hmm. They are... broadly just like love and want to protect and serve the people that they work for in New York City and each other. To me is how I play this character. It's like in an ideal world, what would I want?
Yeah.
What would I want as a citizen of the United States? What would I want my law enforcement to look and feel like and how would I want them to behave? Mm-hmm. And I think that's at the core of what we're doing as playing detectives on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Melissa Fumero and Stephanie Beatriz, thank you so much for joining me on Latino USA. It's been so much fun speaking with you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
This was amazing.
Melissa Fumero and Stephanie Beatriz from the show Brooklyn Nine-Nine. NBC will air the sixth season beginning this month. Latino USA is produced by Miguel Macias, Antonia Cerejido, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, Sayer Quevedo, and Maya Cueva. We're edited by Marlon Bishop, Fernanda Chavarri, and Sofia Paliza Carr, with additional editing by Allison McAdam. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholtz. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music that you heard on this episode, be sure you stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. And one more thing for you podcast listeners out there. If you can go to Apple Podcasts and take a moment to rate and review Latino USA, This really helps other listeners to find us, and we love reading your comments. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next time, and in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by Winecoat Foundation and the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. And California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, and next time on Latino USA, legendary Afro-Peruvian American hip-hop artist Immortal Technique. He's known for his political and controversial music. He talks to me about his life growing up in Harlem and where it all stems from. That's next time on Latino USA.
Would you put on a sweater that once belonged to Hitler? Can Chinese zodiac signs predict who's going to be a great scientist? And what happens when you use a training method for dogs to teach doctors? Answers to all those questions on my podcast, Hidden Brain.